Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, as we open up your word this morning, we are nothing without you. And so may your Holy Spirit guide, direct, give us understanding, so that when we leave this place, we are closer to you than when we came. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, Celebration Choir. Took me way back. That was my error. Thank you. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us, the one he loves. Predestined. Most of you understand that John Calvin taught predestination. Predestination is the belief that God has already dictated who will be saved and who will be lost. And yet the Bible here in Ephesians 4 says that God predestined us to sonship. Sonship, the Greek word for adoption to sonship, is a legal term referring to the full legal standing of an adopted male heir in Roman culture. So God has predestined us as his children. Already. Before creation, he determined, he destined that each of us would be his children. I don't think you understand how important that is. It's not based upon my family. It's not based upon my denomination. It is not based upon my culture or race. It is based upon my humanity that God predestined before the creation of this world, that you and I are legal heirs to his kingdom. We are children of God, which means I have everything available to me that Jesus Christ had available to him. Everything. Before you were born, before I formed you in the womb, he says in Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, he knew you would sing this song today. Before you knew it, he knew you would be here today. I got a lot to share with you, and I'm going to do it in 30 minutes or less. Yes. See, I'm used to coming to first service. I'm home now. So when Pastor Wright said, I want you to preach, I said, oh, I'd be happy to preach. I'll be there first service. He said, no. said, Pastor Wright, I go to first service. No. And you know Pastor Wright. I said no once. I'm here. So, I'm going to get you out of here before one. Well, I'm going to be done before one. Please understand, the work of salvation has been done. God did that before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, he predestined us to be in heaven with him for 1,000 years and then back on this earth for eternity. He decided that beforehand. You, me. He has my kingdom prepared for me. He has it. I have to choose to accept it. How stupid would it be? Now I'm thinking as a human being here. If the richest person in the world came to me and said, I want you to be my legal adopted son. You get everything that I have. What do I have to do? Nothing. Just accept it. And I said, no. I want to stay where I am, in my poor little house in Beltsville, Maryland, paying my bills. Stupid, right? And yet some of us, with the choices we make, we choose not to be adopted by the God of the universe. What? So if he already predestined me to be saved, if he already predestined me to be in heaven with him for 1,000 years, and I leave my mansion empty, because, no, I want to go to hell. Really? I don't know if this has been done before, but when I was in elders meeting on Tuesday night, I was still trying to figure out what God wanted me to talk about. And I knew, Pastor Wright said, it's the first Sabbath, that we're dealing with our last item for this quarter, this year, which is destiny. Destined and determined. Some people succeed because they are destined, but most because they are determined. The question is, what do you believe? And so I'm going to spend 20 minutes going over the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It means I got about a minute for each one. Because this is what God revealed to me, that we, most of us, do not know and do not understand what we're supposed to know and understand. If I am God's child, what do I know? And do I know what I'm supposed to know? It's a lot of no's. I got to go quick. Now, most of these I won't have to say much about at all. That's the Cone Park Church. I did that. And I hope some of y'all, I was just telling somebody in this congregation, I'm not going to call them out. Go on the internet. Type in Tacoma Park SDA Church, and then go to images. Some of y'all are there. What? Because you see, some people take pictures of you all during the service and you don't even know it. So you better hope that you're smiling. Okay. 28 fundamentals of belief. The first one, Holy Scriptures. Each of us have to believe in God's word. Which means if I believe in God's word, I have to have faith, Hebrews 11, that God is in control of everything in God's word. Some of this stuff doesn't make sense to me. I'm being honest with you. But because I choose to believe in God, and this is the way that he has revealed himself to me, through his word, I need to know his word. I don't need to know that there's 66 books. I really don't. But there are. Source of all knowledge, essential for salvation, is in his word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what God's word is all about. I've got to believe that. All scripture is Christ-centered. Even in the Old Testament, it points to Christ, our Savior. A lot of study. Daily Bible study is important to keep us from deception. Talking this morning, in first service, you've got to spend time in God's word. Because sometimes we don't see what's there. Because we don't take the time. We're too busy. Are you too busy to know the God of the universe? All right, Trinity. There is one God. Some people don't understand this. I don't understand this. I can't fully explain it to you. Three in one. But I know what the Bible teaches. And in fact, right at the beginning in Genesis, the word in Hebrew that is used for God is a plural word, Elohim. There is one God, but it's plural. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, lots of scripture here. All right, I'm going fast. I told you 1 minute. Okay? All right, God is beyond our comprehension, but he who has chosen to make himself known to those who seek him, he has chosen that. But we have to seek him. You have to spend time in his word to know who he is. So many people don't spend time in his word, but assume that they know who the person is. You know good and well, sometimes people make all kinds of wrong assumptions about you just from the way you look. You may look at somebody and they're not smiling. You go, man, that person is having a, oof, what is the matter with them? You don't know what's going on with them. You don't know how hard it was for them to be here, but they're here. You've got to know him. Take time to know God. Eternal, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, immutable. That means he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is worthy of worship. I love the Lord. Because he heard my cry. Okay? Three. Quickly, this is the Trinity. Who's the first one in the Trinity? The Father. Eternal Father is the creator, source. God the Father, sustainer. He created all things, source of all things. God's holiness and justice requires that sinners be destroyed. Now, you got to understand, God is a particular God. When I think of my father, my earthly father, particular guy, I couldn't do certain things. Didn't mean that he didn't love me. When he disciplined, didn't mean that he didn't love me. And so there comes a time when God says, okay, if you don't want to be with me, enough's enough. Enough's enough. That's a just God. Yes, I know some people look in the Old Testament and they say, man, the God of the Old Testament, he was a messed up guy. And many of us young people, us, you see that? I said us. Us young, when I was young, I read the story of Uzzah and I said, man, what kind of a God is that? Uzzah was trying to help the ark. You know the story. Just trying to help the ark. Just put his hand to steady it. And God struck him dead. King David, a man after God's own heart, got mad at God. Why would you do that? I said, don't touch it. I can take care of things. I really don't need you. I give you the opportunity, but I don't need you. Trust me, God the Father. God the Son, the eternal Son. Now I'm going through all 28 fundamental beliefs. If you've never seen them before, please write them down. Make sure you know. Go into your scriptures. Write down some of these texts. I don't have time to go over all of them, but they're in the Word of God. Take the time. God the eternal Son became incarnate Jesus Christ. Oh, I could say so much about this, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. Okay, he suffered, died voluntarily on the cross. Voluntarily. When they were slapping the Son of God, when they blindfolded him and said, who hit you? Did he know? Yep. Ellen White says that the angels in heaven were just, you know how somebody's holding you back because you want, please, Jesus, just think about us. Think about, we'll come. We will strike that person. All he had to do was think it. But he loved us so much, he allowed himself voluntarily to be beaten 39 times, ripped his flesh apart. The God of heaven. Wow. He's going to come again. These are just texts that prove it. He experienced temptation but did not sin. So please understand, temptation is not a sin. Some people think that if I'm tempted, oh, I'm sinning. No, you're not. Yielding to temptation is a sin. But temptation is not a sin. Okay? He voluntarily died in our place. Jesus rose from the dead. His resurrection assures eternal life to all who accept him as Savior. He is now serving as our high priest. I got to go. Holy Spirit. The eternal Spirit was active with the Father and the Son in creation. The Spirit moved upon the waters. Okay? Sent by the Father and Son to be always with his children. He extends his spiritual gifts. He was active in the work of creation. He played an active role in Christ's redemptive work on earth. He inspired those who wrote the Bible. 2 Peter, holy men of God spake as they were moved. Spirit is active today. He attracts people to God. Why are you here? You don't come because you have a desire on your own. The Bible says the condition of man, I'm coming there, condition of man is sinful. There is nothing good in us. The Holy Spirit woos you, speaks to you, says, get out of bed. It's the devil who makes the Sabbath the hardest day to get up. You know good and well, we go to work. I'm at work at 5 o'clock sometimes every day. But yet we can get to work at 8 o'clock. Some of us work at 7. We can get to work, but on Sabbath, whew, and second service doesn't start till 9. Oh, it's so hard. That's the devil, y'all. Okay? I'm just saying. He gives spiritual gifts to the church. All right. Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That means you can turn your back on the Holy Spirit. and he will walk away from you. And when he does that, there's no turning back. But as long as you hear the Holy Spirit talking to you, you have not grieved the Holy Spirit despite your sin. Okay? No matter how bad you are, as long as you have a desire to do right, the Holy Spirit has not left you. Okay? All right, just making sure you understand, oh, I've done this terrible thing. Holy Spirit doesn't speak. If you're even thinking that you've done something bad, the Holy Spirit's still working with you. 6, creation. God is creator of all things. First man and woman were made in the image of God. Sabbath is a memorial of God's completed work. Yes, there were 6 days of creation, Brother Avondale Paul, but there are actually 7. He's going to get me later. Because God set apart, created time, the Sabbath, as the one day to worship him. Time. There is no other time element to a week. There's nothing in nature. There is for a month. There is for a year. It's not for a week. That God gave that. Okay? Memorial of his creative power. Made in the image of God, that means we can choose. We can choose to serve him or not. We can put our hand in the face of God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can say, okay, you want me to be adopted as your son? No, I don't want that. We can do that. Doesn't make sense, but we can do that. 7, the nature of man. Man and women were made in the image of God with individuality, power, and freedom to think and to do. Though created free beings, each is indivisibly a unity of body, mind, and spirit. When Adam was created, before there was breath in him, he was a dead spirit. Don't let Satan deceive you in thinking your spirit is your breath and has a personality. It does not. When God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. So without breath, I'm a dead soul. I'm not running around somewhere. Or, no, I wouldn't be because I'm alive now, but I'm talking about, anyway. We are created for the glory of God. We're called to love him and one another and care for our environment. Christians should be the most environmentally sound people because God has given us this earth to take care of. We should be. Not because the government says so. We should be. Because we're created in his image. We are God's special creation. Okay. But because of their sin, all descendants are subject to death. Adam and Eve sinned. Not going to get into who sinned first. It doesn't matter. Both sinned. Eve and Adam. Okay? God gives us his Holy Spirit to restore his image in us. All right, 8, the great controversy. See those pictures up there? People that claim to be Christ. Jim Jones. And then the other one was the, what was it called? You were in San Francisco. Hale Bop. Something, the stars were going to align and they all committed suicide and claimed to be Christ. Okay? All humanity is now involved in a great controversy between Christ and Satan. He introduced the spirit of rebellion into this world when he led Adam and Eve into sin. This is the great controversy. Okay? And understand, We are on display. God had to allow sin to take place because we chose it. Could he have wiped it out? Sure. Would that have been free will? No. Because then I would have been serving God out of fear. I mean, fear, not out of reverence, out of fear. And he doesn't want that. He's offering us adoption. We have to take it. Okay? All right. The root cause, let me go back real quick. Let me hope. The root cause of all the evil we see on earth today is Lucifer. Rebellion against God, which has led to a universe-wide conflict. Again, the conflict began in heaven. You know this. So many people ask, young people ask me, well, you know, then God created sin. Because he created Lucifer. And he knew Lucifer was going to sin. So God created sin. No. God created the angels with free will, with choice. Just as he created us. Free will is not sin. Because I choose to sin doesn't mean God made me sin. Do you understand? So just out of love for us, he allows us not to accept that offer of adoption. That's because he loves us. He doesn't force us. Okay? Satan's pride. What has led you into sin? Pride. I use the illustration all the time. You spell sin, S-I-N. What's in the middle of sin? I. Every single sin we commit is selfishly motivated. That's how it started. With Lucifer, Satan now in heaven. All of creation watches events here, Romans 8, waiting for redemption of God's children. All right. Finally, eventually, God's every knee will bow. Even Satan is going to bow. Okay? All right, number 9, life and death and resurrection of Christ. Ooh, my. Not going to spend a lot of time here. He was the perfect atonement. Only Christ could accomplish this. No angel could, because it was God who is being questioned by Lucifer, not an angel. If Jesus had thought one sin, our salvation was lost. See, you don't think that there was a reason why the woman caught in adultery was naked thrown at Jesus' feet. One thought. Lucifer doesn't do anything by chance. I tell my kids all the time, can you imagine having the perfect sibling? Jesus was perfect. Now, most of us, brothers and sisters, it's the good kid that really gets on our nerves. And we try to always get them in trouble. They did it. So with Jesus' brothers and sisters, yes, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Read it in the Word. You know good and well they were doing their best to try to get him to mess up. One sin. You know, a lot of times we think Jesus had more. Oh, he power. We don't have the same power. Why don't we have the same power? He spent all nights in prayer. We don't. Even when we have all-night prayer meetings, we don't pray all night. He would spend all nights in prayer connecting with his Father. That's how you overcome. Okay, I'm just going to go through these because, you know, when I realized I had 88 slides, okay. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's by faith that we are delivered from evil. By faith. The church. Church is a community of believers. That means the closer we get to Christ's second coming, we need to be spending more time in worship together because we need to encourage each other. Paul said that. We need to encourage each other. Because sometimes this is the only respite you get from the world. Church. Christ's body, which means we all take care of each other, you all. This is not about one against the other. If I hurt my finger, my mouth screams. If one part of the body is hurt, then we all suffer. So you take care of each other. Stop this backbiting. Yeah, I know the church is a hospital for sinners. I know that. So if I know that, then stop talking about other people. We're all sinners in need of God's grace. You're not better than me. I am not better than you. But this is where we need to be, to support one another, because Christ is coming. As Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in the remnant. There's a certain part of the whole. We are part of God's church. A part of God's church. We aren't the only ones. Do you understand? We are not the only ones. Seventh-day Adventists aren't going to be the only ones in heaven. Praise King Jesus. Because you know some of y'all aren't happy people. You be complaining about heaven. And that street of gold, that's just a little scuffed up here. How come you have 5 windows? I don't have 4. Praise the Lord, there are going to be some Baptists. And some Roman Catholics. There's going to be some Church of God. There's going to be some Pentecostals. Watch this. There's going to be some atheists in heaven. Wow. Because some of them are nicer than you and me to each other. They represent Christ more than we do. All right. Let me just go through these, just so you can see what they are. Unity in the body of Christ. 13. We're a united family. All of us should love one another. By baptism, we come into the faith. Number 14. We all need baptism. Some people ask me, do I need to be baptized to be saved? No. Listen. But why would you not be? Because it's a public expression of your faith in God. Why would you not be? The thief on the cross wasn't baptized, but Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. So baptism is not a sacrament of once I'm baptized, I'm saved. No. But if I love Jesus Christ, I want to publicly confess my love for him. I want to be baptized. Does it make me perfect? No. I want to. I want people to keep me honest in my relationship to him. You're baptized. So tell me not to do something, because the Bible says if I'm concerned about my brother, I will go to him if he's doing something wrong in a spirit of Christ-likeness. Not in a spirit of superiority. Big difference. Growing in Christ. All right? Oh, yes. I just put up things here because I knew I was going to run out of time. All kinds of texts about how we grow in Christ. What it's about in my relationship to him. I should not be the same tomorrow as I am today. I should be closer to Christ. How am I doing that? By spending time in his word. That's the only way. Putting what I read into practice. If you don't put it into practice, you are spiritually constipated. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some people who just just soak in the Word of God and they never share it with anybody, that doesn't do anybody any good, and it certainly hurts you. You have got to share it. Empty yourself to be refilled with the Spirit. 16, the Lord's Supper. Are you looking at the picture? That's some people from Tacoma Park. I got that off the website. Communion. You looking at the picture? No, go back. Go. Stop. I want you to see the picture. You know who that is? That's your pastor. Pastor Cheatham? Spiritual Gifts and Ministries. Website, remember, you never know what's on it. I'm telling you, some of y'all are going to go on the website this afternoon and, go, and scroll through and see yourself. Gift of Prophecy. What you have to understand, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. You do not have to accept Ellen White to be a Seventh-day Adventist. What you have to accept is the gift of prophecy. Now, I believe that if you read the Spirit of Prophecy, Ellen White's writings, you will be convicted that God led her. But don't let somebody else's misuse of her word, I don't even like to say it because it sounds like the Bible. Don't let somebody's misuse of her writings, making the distinction between the word and her writings, cause you not to read her, because you're going to lose a lot. The thing that brought me the closest to Christ, because I was not ready to read the Bible, it was hard for me to understand, were steps to Christ. And that led me to the Bible. And if her writings don't lead you to the Bible, then you're reading them wrong. Okay, all right, that's all right. Gift of Prophecy. I got 10 more. Are you kidding me? Oh, I promised and I... Okay, the law of God, that's one of the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we believe in the Ten Commandments and we uphold all of them. Sabbath is one. Our problem is the Sabbath does not save me. Okay? Sabbath does not save me. It's a response to my following God's word. And it's not any day. It's the seventh day is the Sabbath. When is the seventh day? Well, when is the easiest thing? I talk to people. I drive Lyft. Yes, I like to do that. That's kind of fun. I meet lots of interesting people. How do you know which day is the seventh day? I put it back on them. How do you know? When do you celebrate Easter? On Sunday. So when is Easter? When does the Bible say Easter was? But when does Christ resurrect himself? It says in the Bible it was on the first day. I mean, you know that. How many days in the week are there? So which is the seventh day? I don't care what they're trying to do in Europe. You know in Europe they're changing the seventh day to Sunday on the calendar. I've seen it. I'm like, really? Okay. Stewardship, which means Part of my responsibility, my fundamental belief, is to, this is not just money, you all. Too many times, and that's, you know, I should have changed that. Because it's not just money, it's my life. It's my health. That's stewardship. Okay? Money is part of it. Yes, go. Christian behavior. I struggle with this. I'm the old-time Seventh-day Adventist, old-time, which means I see somebody with jewelry, I get all upset. God had to change me, had to break me, because I was seeing the jewelry and my eyes were not on Jesus. It's not about the jewelry, you all. It's not. My wife likes to say, you know, I like a little blick. This is my wife. It's pretty. And she says, how come if jewelry is so bad that the Bible talks about our crowns with jewels in the crowns? And I just say to her, yes, but we're going to throw those at Jesus' feet. It's not the jewelry. It's the heart. My watch can be my idol. I've seen some serious bling on watches. But because they function, I'm talking like an Adventist. I know, I'm stopping. Because they function, then it's okay. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Yes, we're going to 23, 24, 25. I just want you to see what they are, because sometimes we don't know what they are. Oh boy, could I talk about that? All these scriptures about marriage and the family. Christ's ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. He is my high priest, which means he is my lawyer. He is the one who stands before the Father for me. I like lots of texts. You see all these texts because it's all biblically based. The second coming of Christ. Christ is going to come, you all, and he's not going to come long time from now. Are you ready? And it's going to be a visible second coming. If anybody comes around and says, I am Christ, and he's walking on this earth, don't you dare believe him. Because Matthew 24 says, false Christ will arise. If somebody comes and says, I am Christ, don't believe him. Even if they perform miracles. Because it says in Scripture that false prophets can perform miracles. Know your Bible, you all. Death and resurrection. Wages of sin is death. My dad is dead in the grave. He's been there since 2002. If my dad comes into my house, I'm praying to God because it's not him. No, Satan has done that, you all. Don't you dare laugh about it. Satan has done that, and people have believed. But my scriptures say the dead know nothing. They're in the grave. They neither think. They know nothing. So don't be deceived. Millennium, 1,000 years, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven judging the wicked. Because you may get up there and remember that Pastor Henry, why is Pastor Henry not in heaven? And you can look at my books. And you see the choices I've made. And the choice I made not to be with God. And then you can go, he made the choice. That's why. And then God is going to wipe that away because you're not going to want to remember me for eternity if I'm not there. End of sin. Sin will not come anymore. No more. The new earth. No more. Does that mean we're going to be robots? No. If I have lived in sin on this earth and have made it into the new earth, do I want sin to come again? No. Amen. It will be over. Conclusion. The Olympic Games, Mexico, 1968. The marathon is the final event on the program. Hope you know that. The Olympic Stadium is packed and there's excitement as the first athlete, an Ethiopian runner, enters the stadium. The crowd erupts as he crosses the finish line. Way back in the field is another runner, John Stephen Akwari from Tanzania. He's been eclipsed by the other runners. After 30 kilometers, his head is throbbing, his muscles are aching. He falls to the ground. This is a true story. He has serious leg injuries, and officials want him to retire, but he refuses. With his knee bandaged, Akwari picks himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometers to the finish line. An hour after the winner has finished, Akwari enters the stadium. All but a few thousand people are there. The crowd has gone home. He moves around the track at a painstakingly slow pace until finally he collapses over the finish line It is one of the most heroic efforts of Olympic history. Afterward, asked by a reporter why he had not dropped out, Aquari says, "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish." You see, God has sent us to finish, to be with him in heaven. He's predestined it. He's ordained us to be sons. Are you determined to be there? Just belonging to a church will not save you. You have to be determined personally to be adopted into God's family. So I'm going to ask you as I end, will you choose with me to personally accept being adopted into God's family and determine to know for yourself why you believe, what you do, and why? If you're accepting God's offer of adoption, stand with me. Just stand with me if you're accepting God's offer of adoption into his family. He's offering it to you. Free. It's not about other people. And you may make mistakes after this. No. You will make mistakes after this. But heaven sees you making the decision to accept, to be his child, that you want to be in heaven. Father in heaven, we've gone over a lot of information today, Lord. But just knowing doesn't do anything. We are destined for salvation. But we have to determine by accepting what you've done for us. And you see us standing here, Lord, sinful as we are your church, we are. We mess up a lot, but you never give up on us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for accepting us as your children. And may the Holy Spirit be with each of us, because we need him day by day, moment by moment. Father, come quickly. We're tired of this world. Come quickly. Can't wait to see you. I can't wait to hold you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated.